Welcome today, listeners, to another episode of Rallycast. And with me today, in the race seat, all strapped in and ready to go for another enthralling episode, is Carl Drummond. How are you, Carl?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Not too bad at all. Now, look, I'm a little bit excited about what we're going to cover today and also what we have coming up in future podcasts. And do you think it's fair to say that you share the same thoughts as well?
Yeah, mate, definitely. This is something that we've talked about a bit, and something that's needed to happen for a while. I'm really excited to be able to give this information and discuss this topic.
Exactly right. Now, we have spoken about many podcast topics relating to rally in the past, and there always seems to be this one reoccurring theme and these reoccurring questions that we get asked. And normally that is, wow, I'd love to do that. Normally followed by, wow, I wonder how to do that, which then leads into the other question, which is how much to do that. And from what we spoke about pre-recording to this podcast, the best part of it all is, yes, we have the answers for that, but there is a whole heap more questions as we found out. And I guess I'm not sure how deep this rabbit hole is going to go, Carl, but to be honest, I think we're going to uncover it at all. So we agreed pre-show that if there is some technical rally term like bias valve or anti-lag, that we're going to dust off the old trusty rally dictionary for everyone, so all will be explained for our listeners. What do you think about that?
Yeah, mate, I think that's definitely a thing, and we'll try to keep the explanations in as layman terms as much as we can to keep this as straightforward as possible.
Excellent, Carl. Righto, let's get started. What is the topic for today, and can you explain a little bit more as to what our listeners will get out of this series?
Yep, okay. So let's go right back to the beginning here with this. We're going to answer the question, how to get into rallying or how to get into motorsport. And this series will cover a different topic on each episode. We're going to start with the very basic level of motorsport and move right through to full rallying. That's going to include costs and some of the technical terms that we will have to pull the dictionary out for. Now, this series is designed assuming that the listener has no experience of motorsport at all, other than maybe having watched it on TV or spectated an event or something. So we're going to talk about quite a lot. We're going to cover a lot of ground and try and keep it as concise as possible. And what we're aiming to do is to help people who want to get into the motorsport avoid some of the pitfalls and the classic mistakes and possibly the costs involved with that through those mistakes. And there are some classic mistakes that most people make when they get in. Because after all, any form of sport that you want to get into needs to be enjoyable.
Righto, so where do we start, Carl?
Assuming then that somebody hasn't got any motorsport experience at all and wants to get into it, the first place that I would recommend to start would be to go and do a rally driving experience.
Let's bring out the rally dictionary. What's a rally driving experience?
Okay. Effectively, anybody who's capable of driving a vehicle can go somewhere it's generally a business, pay their money up and turn up and be able to drive somebody else's rally car. And there are a lot of companies around the world who specialize in rally driving experiences. They all go under various names and guises. Of course, blowing our own trumpet, we've got our own one, Rally Action. And of course, anybody can go to rallyaction.com.au and have a look at how that works. But effectively, it means that any member of the public or anybody at all for that matter can come along, get behind the wheel of a real rally car and have an instructor sit beside them and give them some coaching and some tips, and they'll be able to drive a rally car sideways on the gravel and have some fun. And that's really the best way to get started, to decide whether or not you actually like it and it's worth going any further with it.
Exactly. So, well, let's say after the rally driving experience, the participants love it, and from there they want to go further. Where to from here, Carl?
Right here. This is where it starts to get a little bit technical, and we'll go in increments here. So the first thing that somebody needs to do is to join a car club.
Righto. Well, the first question I'm going to ask you there, and I've got a couple, is, well, what type of car club? And what car clubs are there out there?
Well, look, we'll talk about Western Australia. And again, there's car clubs scattered all over Australia and the world. And again, it will come down to your location as to where it is. Google is your friend. In Western Australia, there's sort of two main car clubs that are really heavily tied in with rallying. And that is the Light Car Club of WA that I'm a member of and our team's a member of. And there's also the West Australian Car Club. They are the two car clubs that run most of the rallies. And then there's a lot of supporting car clubs. And in Australia, as long as the car club is affiliated to CAMS, and by affiliated I mean the car club's a CAMS membership.
Hang on. I'm going to have to get out the rally dictionary again. Who's CAMS?
Right. Okay. Good question, Trev. I'm glad you asked. Well, here's the thing. CAMS is called, in Australia, is called the Confederation of Australian Motorsport. It goes under a few other names as well that we won't mention. CAMS are responsible for the bulk of motorsport in Australia. They're the governing authority. And each country will have their own governing authority, and they usually answer to a higher power higher up the tree called the FIA, which is based in France. We won't get too technical and talk about the international stuff at the moment. So effectively, if you want to go rallying or do most types of motorsport in Australia, then CAMS will come into it somewhere along the line, and the car club you need to join needs to be linked into CAMS. And that's very easy to find out, usually through their website or contacting a particular car club and just asking them, listen, are you guys CAMS affiliated? And they'll say yes or no. And if you want to go into motorsport, you really need to join a car club that is CAMS affiliated.
Excellent. I'll put the rally dictionary away for another 5 minutes. These car clubs, are they expensive?
No. And look, it depends on the car club. Look, I'm quoting the Light Car Club because I'm a member of the car club there, and it's around about $55 a year for an individual. It's cheaper rates for, say, more than one person at the same address, so husband and wife or father and son or a combination of, you know, family member. And the prices that we're quoting, and we'll talk about all through this series, are all the adult prices, so the prices for adults. So bear in mind junior prices. So if you have children with anywhere from, say, 12 years to 18 years old, will be a cheaper price, and it is considerably cheaper.
Okay, this might sound like a bit of a silly question, but why is a car club membership important?
Well, look, it's a requirement of CAMS and CAMS Motorsport that you have a car club membership.
Right.
So that's the first part about it, right? The second part is that being involved or being a member of a car club gives you a free ticket to a great deal of advice, expertise around the place that you wouldn't necessarily get outside of that. Obviously, we're covering a lot in this series, but individual car clubs and the members of those car clubs, and they're all friendly people, they're great, you know, car clubs is great people. They'll be able to tell you things or give you advice or point you in the right direction that you wouldn't find without it. So it's very, very important to be a member of a car club.
Got my car club membership, no problems at all. Is there anything else that I would need?
Yeah. Once you've got your car club membership, the next thing you need to be able to compete is a CAMS license. So even though the car club is affiliated to CAMS, you also, on top of that, need to have a CAMS license. The most basic license that is needed to do motorsport, CAMS motorsport, club level motorsport, is a level 2 non-speed license, or L2 NS.
Okay. Do I need to get the rally dictionary out here, or is that okay?
Yeah, mate. Okay, no, we'll delve a little bit deeper into it. Basically, non-speed, level 2 non-speed, it's just the way that CAMS classify the events, the motorsport events. And non-speed is the most basic events, and we will cover the most basic of events a bit further actually into this particular episode. However, that is the cheapest license and the most basic license required. For that, effectively, you just need to fill in a form.
Is there a cost involved?
There is. And the cost of the CAMS license for the level 2 non-speed, and this is 2013 prices, so depending when you're listening to this, would need to check with CAMS. It's $57 a year for adults. And juniors are about $15, okay? But then again, that's 2013 prices, and prices do go up from year to year, usually a couple of dollars.
Righto. So, got my car club membership. Got my CAMS license, right? Then what?
Okay. One step that I omitted there that we'll talk about is how do you actually get a CAMS license? Well, the easiest way to do it is when you join a car club, generally the car club will have blank CAMS license forms that you can fill out and you can pay the car club directly. They tear off a little slip and send the paperwork in on your behalf, or you can download them from the CAMS website, fill them in and email them in, whatever you like. However, to get a CAMS license, you do need to have a car club membership. So it's usually easier for new members to do both at the car club at the same time.
Right, got it.
Okay.
Okay, so done that. Yeah,
right.
Excellent.
Now,
then what?
This is where we believe that most people go wrong from this point onward. So you,
what? Why is that?
Okay. Well, what happens is many people, and we get asked this a lot through our rally experiences. This is a question I'm asked several times throughout any rally experience that we run is, how do I get into rallying? I want to go rallying. Yep, great. Love the enthusiasm, and that's sensational. That's what we need. But many people jump straight into rallying, jump out of the blocks, go and buy a rally car and go and enter a rally, and then they drop out of the sport for various reasons. And really it's mostly to do with not being prepared for competing in full rallies. There's a lot involved to get into a full rally, and we have a different approach. Instead, we recommend going through club level motorsport first.
Okay, so what is club level motorsport then?
All right, mate. Well, we're going to start. I'm going to talk about motor carna and carnacross.
Hang on a second. I've got to get out this big rally dictionary again. Righto. So what's motor carna? What is carnacross?
Okay, all right. I'm going to focus particularly on carnacross. Motor carna is below carnacross, but we'll start with that. Effectively, carnacross is what CAMS define as a low speed or a non-speed event. They're designed to teach car control in a controlled environment. They're very cheap to enter. The family can come down and watch as well. It's a very relaxed environment around them. You can pick up driving tips from other competitors. Juniors can, you know, drive as well. The whole family can really be involved in it.
Why is this important to do club level motorsport then?
Okay. Well, look, if you want to get into rallying, if you go straight into rally, you don't have this opportunity to be able to interact so well with other competitors or other club members. Rallying is quite structured. Everybody's on a schedule or a time scale that they're running to, and you don't have the opportunity, say between each drive or whatever, to get out and watch and see what's going on in the event. Whereas with a club level like a carnacross, you can very much do that. You do your drive or your run, and you can get out between your runs and watch the other competitors. There's time to stand around and talk to other people. Your family can come down and run as well. More than, you know, one driver can drive the car. So there's a great deal that can be picked up there. And this is one of the classic mistakes. This is one of the top 5 or top 10 classic mistakes that people make by just going straight into rallying, because they don't have that opportunity to have that interaction. When you're in a rally, you get in there and you're effectively on your own, as you and I both know, Trip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, whereas a carnacross, you have a chance, you can, you know, to talk to other people and see how things are done, and really, and that's one of the core reasons why you do club level motorsport.
Right, okay, Carl. I can see that as a bit of an overview for carnacross, and I'm sure there's going to be questions about where people can find more information about that. Is there somewhere, place they can go, or?
Okay, there's a couple of ways you can go about it. Your car club will be able to answer a lot of the questions on carnacross. However, if you want to see how a carnacross works, we've created a video on YouTube, because we do get asked this question a lot, what is a carnacross? So we've created a video entitled What is a carnacross? And if you go onto Google or into YouTube and search carnacross, that's K-H-A-N-A-C-R-O-S-S, carnacross, you'll find, I think we're in the top 4 there, top 3 or 4, and the title is What is a carnacross? Just click on that and watch it, and it will give you an explanation in a bit more depth than what we've covered in this episode on how a carnacross works and what you need to get involved.
Excellent. I think that may have saved us some listener questions. Look, we're talking about carnacross here, joining car clubs, rallying, which involves car. I take it, Carl, I'm going to need one of those, a car. look, can I, you know, bring out my fully blown turbo boosting WRX, or can I just use wifey's old hatchback, or do I need to do something else for this car?
Well, the answer to the question you just asked is yes to both. And this is where your car club advice comes in, where you can ask members of the car club. This is another one of the classic mistakes of people that jump straight into rallying. They go and buy a fully blown rally car and then find out later that people know the history of that car and maybe it isn't what they thought it was. So the car club advice is great here. Or we can do it through our business, through PerthRallyDriving.com or through rallyaction.com.au either. We can do it for you at a cost, of course, to go and find a car. The simple answer is that, yes, you can use a turbo four-wheel drive car like a WRX if you want to. However, it's not required. In fact, a normal road car, any licensed road car can be used, or a bunkie or an unlicensed car is fine, as long as the car is mechanically sound. You know, in other words, the brakes work, it doesn't leak a huge amount of oil, it's not a rusty hulk of junk. You know, the seat belts and seats are fine in the car. They're perfectly fine to use, and the bulk of Carnacross or club level motorsport competitors do use unlicensed cars that they've picked up for, you know, a couple of $100 out of the off the internet or out of the paper.
Okay, yeah, you just touched on one thing about seat belts and safety items. What are the safety items that are required? Are there any requirements for extra gear that you might have to buy?
Yeah, you do. Well, yes, and it is very basic because this is the most basic levels of motorsport. So you need a helmet, and in Australia you need a helmet that complies as a minimum with the Australian standard. A motorcycle helmet is fine, or a cheap motorsport helmet, and there's plenty of places you can buy them from. You also need to have a 1 kilo fire extinguisher securely fitted in the car. So cable ties or double-sided tape or lackey bands are not suitable. They have to be effectively drilled and bolted in and fixed securely. And you also need to wear, there's certain requirements of what you need to wear. You need to wear long longs.
Hang on a second, what did you just say?
Long longs, yeah. Thought I'd catch you with that one, mate. Long longs.
What are long longs? Is that like a karate or a ninja suit or something?
Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it? No, look, sorry, that's my old days of mining coming back there, mate. It's a mining term. Basically, it means that you need to wear long sleeves and long pants. So a pair of jeans and a cotton long sleeve shirt or a wool jumper or something like that is fine, and covered shoes or running shoes are fine. So in other words, you're not able to go to a Carnacross and run in a tank top and shorts and thongs. That's you've got to approach these in the right frame of mind. However, it does mean that you don't need to wear, you don't, I'll say that again, need to go out and buy a full race suit at this stage. Just to do club level motorsport, just jeans or long pants is fine, and covered shoes. You don't need to wear racing gloves. Some people choose to wear that, but it's not a requirement. It's basic level sort of stuff.
Okay, I'll if I ever come out there, I'll leave my ninja suit, or as we say, long longs at home. I've never heard that term before. Okay, so with all that aside then, what is the cost for Carnacross then? Is it expensive? Is it cheap? Is it entry level? I mean, that's the question that I've got for you.
Yep. And the answer is that it is one of the cheapest levels of motorsport that you'll get into. Carnacross is cheap.
Okay, Carl, so what are you calling cheap to start Carnacrossing then?
I'm going to call cheap $35, okay?
Well, that's reasonable.
It is. It is cheap. And the entry fee for Carnacrosses that we run here in WA is around $35 per driver to enter. So you've got your car club membership and your CAMS license, which you've got to have regardless of whatever type of motorsport you do. You've got your $35 entry fee, and then you've got the cost of your car. And let's say that we talked about it earlier, that you buy your bunkie for, you know, a couple of $100 out of the like paper or Gumtree for the Aussies who know what that is, that website, and Craigslist in some of the other countries of the world, and you away you go there, you know. And of course, we can at a cost prepare competition cars, including Carnacross cars. There's a few bits and pieces that you can do, and I think we're actually putting together a online course that we'll do on building and preparing competition cars that we'll release a bit further down the track into this series. Or you can go and buy a fully-fledged rally car and spend, you know, whatever you like on it. However, for club-level stuff as a budget, you know, you can really get into it for a few hundred dollars and have an absolute ball at that sort of cost.
Excellent, dude. Right. I've got two more questions left here, which I've managed to jot down while I've been talking to you. And something I don't think we've covered is how many drivers can use the car on a Carnacross?
And this is, again, one of the beauties of club motorsport. In a Carnacross, our events, we generally, this is for the Light Car Club, and I think the other big club in WA, Bormser, that run Carnacrosses as well, have a similar setup. There's a maximum of three drivers per car. So that means three drivers can share the one car and everybody gets to drive. So that could be, you know, mum, dad and kids, could be dad and the kids, or it could be any combination, or three kids or whatever. And that's quite common. So that's why it's a family event. And I mean, under special circumstances, most organisers for these type of events will allow more than three drivers if you ask them nicely.
Righto, got it. So my last question here is, Carl, somebody, I guess, has had enough of using their wife's car or their fully blown turbo WRX. How many Carnacrosses should they compete in before sort of, I guess, progressing further into rallying?
Good question. And a bit of a loaded one as well. You can go from zero to full blown rallying within, you know, the space of a year or several months if you really want it. We usually recommend that you do a few Carnacrosses and club-level motorsport events before moving further, just to get the experience and understand how things work. In a lot of regards, there's a lot of similarities between, you know, the club-level events and motorsport. They are designed to feed into rallying. And look, me personally and my family and a lot of my friends, we still compete in Carnacross now. You know, love it, absolutely love it. Regardless of the fact that we can pull a rally car out and go, we still do it. On that note, mate, I think we'll wrap this episode up. What do you think, Trev?
Yep, that's an excellent idea. Well, let's just have a little bit of a look at what we've covered today. You might want to start it off there.
Yeah, well, we've covered a lot of ground, really, haven't we?
So we have, definitely, for the first one, yes.
Yeah, so, okay, rally driving experiences for a start. So rallyaction.com.au is a good place to go and have a look at that. Then we talked about the car clubs, what types there are, and there's a few around the place, again, through our website, either perthrallydriving.com or rallyaction.com.au. We can provide you with information on that. You can find it yourself. And obviously we talked about why you need your car club membership. We've also talked about CAMS and the CAMS licenses and the most basic license you need. Then we've touched on a couple of the classic mistakes, some of the biggies in there, and the way that we believe that the best way to progress into rallying is. And we've talked about club level motorsport and taken a bit of time talking about Carnacross there. Yeah, and we've also talked about the type of car you need for cars you need for club level motorsports, which will lead in nicely to our next episode, mate.
That's right. For our listeners, where can they find that next podcast?
Yep, okay. So all of our podcasts we're putting onto our perthrallydriving.com website, where they're free to download, and you can download this and all previous episodes.
Fantastic, mate. Look, I think that's a wrap, and I look forward to your company again next time, and our listeners' company as well. Until then, let's keep the wheels turning.
No worries, mate. Have a good one.
You too. See ya.
Please note that the opinions, ideas and views expressed by the hosts are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions, ideas or views of the competitors, organisers or the governing body of the motorsport.